Shanti. So we're going to look at a very old, relevant, and ongoing topic, self-respect. And how do we create it? How is it lost? What is it? Actually, self-respect, of course, begins first of all with the knowledge that Baba gives me about myself, both as a soul, as an elevated human being with a certain way of behavior. When the soul takes this knowledge from Baba and it accepts it, believes it, then the first thing that comes into its life is confidence. The soul starts to feel a very deep confidence of what it is and what it's able to do. But self-respect is something different. Self-respect really only comes when I apply and I experience. Because in applying and in the experience, then that strength of who I am becomes very practical. Without application and experience, there's nothing practical in terms of self-respect. It remains a nice theory. And as the soul really develops its self-respect, then it starts to feel that it's progressing. Progressing in what way? Well, it's fulfilling its aim. What is my aim? To become pure, to be really experiencing the companionship with God, to be cooperative in His task, the task of bringing benefit to all my brother souls, to be an instrument in that. And to do all this with very clean motive, very clean intention, and with a great deal of attention, but also lightness. One characteristic of a soul who progresses is their lightness and their attentiveness. They're very attentive on everything, but never get stuck, because this sticking attitude, well, I don't know if it's an attitude or it's a condition, but anyway, when we get stuck in, you know, an emotional body conscious attitude or feeling, then this is actually when we start to lose our self-respect, and also we don't feel that we are progressing. And so what to do? How to increase self-respect besides knowing that I am a soul? Baba gave us an exercise last year, you know, the 8 times a day exercise. And actually, respect is in those 5 stages. And I'll just go through them with you and look at some of the characteristics of each of those stages that create a self-respect if I'm able to experience them. And actually, it's not really an if. I mean, why not? Of course I can experience them. It's no problem, really. So the first, the deity. On this earth, my first experience as a human being was as a deity. A deity means to be very complete. Very complete, and to be able to integrate and interact with everything very naturally and very freely. A great closeness to everyone and everything. It's the time of greatest happiness. And I am naturally in a stage of self-respect, because I'm naturally in a state of self-awareness. And sometimes we forget to emerge this original self-respect. It's very important, because sometimes we just, it's we just remain in, you know, in the consciousness, I'm an effort maker. But it's also good to go back. Of course, at this time, actually, it means going forward into the golden life. And when I experience that self-respect of being a really complete human being with, you know, very natural relationships with other human beings, with nature, with everything, and then I will feel that every effort I make has really a purpose, and I know where I'm heading. Because the worst thing in effort is to keep going round in circles. To keep going in circles and battling with the same thing. And sometimes, well, I don't think sometimes, I think many times, just to stop that, just to stop it, let me go into the self-respect of my deity life. And I am that deity. It's not just somebody else, but I am that. And it's very important to confirm within myself, this is what I am, and everything is being aimed for this. I mean, the golden and silver ages, this is half the cycle where I keep my self-respect intact. Nothing pollutes it. Nothing. And then after that, the worshipper. The characteristic of, it's also the subconscious working in a worshipper. A worshipper is remembering a speciality. The speciality that brought benefit to the self and to many, many others. And in bhakti, when people worship a god or a goddess or an angel, they remember a speciality. It's wisdom, it's coolness, it's love, it's protection. There's some speciality there. And Baba tells us, you know, to remember the worship-worthy form, which is the form of self-respect. What speciality did God use within the soul? And God spiritualized whatever there was, a talent, a capacity, or God gave a very deep awareness of that speciality. Maybe I didn't even realize it. But the point is, at the confluence, that speciality was emerged through the relationship with God, and it was used. This is also a point of self-respect. You know, this is sometimes when we hear the word worship worthy or even deity, it still remains a little bit abstract. And so when these things remain abstract, I'm not able to really hold the self-respect which comes from these lives. Because, you know, I had half the cycle in the natural self-respect as a deity, and the other half was worshipping, searching, remembering good things, trying to return to good things, remembering those specialities. So they are a very real part of us. And then after the search, Baba realizes we're searching in the wrong way and maybe getting respect in the wrong way. Because this is what happens. We start to try to get self-respect through people and through achievements, which just creates such a dependency and such a need for, you know, approval, all these things, it's not possible to keep a genuine self-respect. And so there's fluctuation depending on what somebody says, what somebody feels, what somebody says about me. The self-respect has gone because the identity has been in the wrong way. It's been with external things. So Baba comes and makes those old souls Brahmins. And this is the, you know, a cause or a reason for great self-respect. What is a Brahmin? A Brahmin is a direct child, a direct student, a direct instrument. it's, you know, in bhakti it was always going around through somebody, through something. A pattern of routines and rituals which I hoped would give me peace or enlightenment or whatever. But now, Baba introduces himself as he is. He tells me who I am. And so this feeling of directness brings also the feeling of closeness. And so as a Brahman, I'm a student, I'm a child, I'm learning, I'm discovering the truth about things. I have been given by drama and karma this opportunity. Do I respect this? So one of the things that makes us lose self-respect is taking many very valuable things for granted. You know, when things become just routine, when things start to become very deep, eternal truths start to just become superficial. So, you know, they don't give me strength. They don't. A superficial thing, no matter how true it is, if it's superficial, it doesn't give me the strength. So I have to revise every day who I am at this particular time in the cycle, in this particular moment, in the many births that I have had. This birth, this spiritual birth, truly is valuable. This gives the soul a lot of self-respect, because the soul not only is given opportunity to understand, but also opportunity to change. The soul is given the opportunity to be whatever it wishes to be. There's no other moment in time for this. Time, drama, karma, Baba, many other souls, you know, are calling the soul, are invoking the highest within the Brahman soul. There's a big invocation going on. This is why Baba says, can't you hear nature calling you? Can't you hear the souls calling you? It's a great invocation. But do I have enough self-respect to accept and to act on that? Or do I still sometimes have that bhakti sanskara to, you know, to look too much at what's wrong, look too much at weaknesses? I mean, it's not to look at them and examine them, but not to do it in a guilt or regret way. It's not good English, that, but you know what I mean. To look at weakness means to start to get them out of me, because it's not really me. And then the soul really starts to celebrate its freedom from these things. As a Brahman, this is how we're supposed to do it. As a Bhagat, you know, I'll get, you know, into many types of modes. Victim mode, you know, I am guilty mode, I'm not worthy mode. Means that those bhakti sanskaras are still there. And I've kept them up because I think it's humility. This is not humility. Humility is only really possible when I have self-respect. Otherwise, I can't have a spiritual, functional humility. Humility means I always keep the door open to learn, to change, to, you know, many things. And if I have self-respect, that door for change and newness will always remain open. That door for creativity, because humility brings that openness which makes us all very creative. But if I don't have self-respect, I close that door because I'm afraid. I don't want others to see what I am. I don't especially want to see who I am. I want to keep an image, no matter how sometimes polluted that image is. So Baba makes the soul a Brahman in order to be liberated and to serve others so that they be liberated also. Whoever they may be on the tree, you know, each soul will be liberated in some way or another. So great self-respect for this opportunity that has been given by God and Dharma. And then the angel. That the soul can change itself so much through the power of honest love that it really becomes a partner with God. It really becomes a companion of God. And Baba was saying in the last Muli, his blessing to each child is, may you be an angel. It's a blessing. He was saying, you know, angels do not walk. Angels fly. So this is the highest I can be. And Baba has said, angel is even higher than the deity life. Do I keep this self-respect? Yeah. But really, it's an invitation from God, invitation from Brahma Baba, the first angel, to be like them and to become unconditional servers. Unconditional means I'm not wanting things myself. I'm fine. I'm full. Just to serve and to share. Because the earth and the human family needs unconditional service. Not conditional service. You know, conditional service, you do this, I'll do that. I'll wait till you change, then I'll be peaceful. I'll wait till you change, then I'll cooperate. This is all conditional. Then I cannot grow in self-respect. I'll grow in self-respect when I increase my cleanliness. And again, Baba is there to do that. I just have to accept it. And so the angel gives protection, gives hope. The angel is made of God's love and good wishes. And then a point. After all of this, this cycle of time that has been going, there's been so much expansion, so many things, I just become a point and go home. The point, Baba spoke in the last Moli, that the wonder of the Sangam Yuga is the point. So the point is the beginning and the end. I come first, I come out of Paramdham as a point, and I go back to Paramdham as a point. And the point is the stage of completeness, the non-physical stage of completeness. The deity is the physical, soul and body and nature. The point, it's non-physical. But it is complete. It's liberated. I am liberated. I am a soul. I am a point. And I have to get back to this incorporeal stage in order to become free of all the expansions and rubbish that have come onto the soul. And so this is why Baba says, look at me, follow me. I am a point. I am incorporeal. And then it becomes easier. The purifying, the liberating becomes very, very easy when point and point connect and there's the current of Sakash from the Father, the Sakash of love. And this is also big self-respect. I go beyond the need for roles. I go beyond the need for position. I go beyond the need of being valued by others. This is in the incorporeal, the non-physical, but the purely, purely spiritual, I am a soul. And the more stable I am in this personal truth and eternal truth, then it's very easy, much easier, of course, all the other stages. Even if, for example, in the stage of worshipper, the Baba's students or Baba's children who have been very true in their learning, in their transformation. Even in the stage of worship, they'll never, you know, completely lose it all. Eh? They'll always have hope. They'll always have faith. Because their purity of heart, that sanskar will keep on even during the bhakti stage. So when we see the, you know, this is Swadarshan Chakradhari. So, when I see eternity, because the cycle is the picture of eternity, and it comes into my intellect, that it gives me the understanding and the wisdom of who I am, and also that it comes into my heart, in the sense that I feel the good things of this cycle and what I am within this cycle. And so this is a great moment for really achieving self-respect. And the method of Swadarshan Chakradhari is something I need to do every day. Some days it will be more one than the other, you know, like some days more incorporeal. Of course, the one thing Baba says is get rid of being worshipper. This is this is not for you now. But point, remembering the deity, the angelic, the Brahmin, you know, the connection with the Father, it's great nourishment. Why to do anything else when I'm nourished by this? And this is the nourishment that will sustain self-respect. And self-respect is something you live. It's not something you think about. It's not something you hear about. It's not just something you churn. I live this. This is soul consciousness. So, what are the things that take all this away? Our good friends, the vices. They're not really good friends, but they're old accomplices, you know, of Ravan. So the five stages and the five vices. A vice means, you know, that it's a negative mindset where I'm, you know, actually going against myself, damaging myself, and therefore losing my self-respect. Because all the vices means a particular respect is lost. For example, ego. I definitely will lose the respect that comes from true self-worth. Because in ego, I base my existence or my identity on labels, on roles. I can get, you know, if I have ego, I can be very sensitive. I don't like people saying things that hurt me. I can get very aggressive, or I can get very critical. All of these things make me lose the self-respect because it's not the truth. Ego is simply not the truth. It's not the pure I am of soul consciousness. And the problem is often there's lots of mixtures, you know, like sometimes there's totally the body conscious ego, sometimes there is a bit of the soul conscious self. And so it becomes a bit mixed, and sometimes the soul gets confused and pulled one way one day, pulled the other another way the other day. And this type kind of like splitting, you know? Ever felt split? No, huh? Oh, that's good. But sometimes this schizophrenic split. On one hand, the angel, on the other hand, like little devil, you know? I mean, you're attracted towards the angelic, but the little devilish sanskaras are stamping their feet and want to be noticed. So, and of course, this struggling makes me lose my self-respect because I feel, as a Brahmin, I'm not true to myself. And sometimes I don't know how to do it. Yeah. And I don't know why this particular vice has come. We'll get on to that later on. And then anger. The thing that anger does, it makes me lose my religion. That religion of peace. Because certainly without inner peace, there can't be self-respect. And this religion of peace is lost personally and collectively. And, you know, anger is this, you know, insistence to see things in a particular way or do things in a particular way. So there can't be harmony and respect in relationships. There can't be that tolerance which is so necessary for harmony. And so every time, you know, if I give in to anger, you know, I can't, sometimes people excuse it. But I have to get angry because I don't, you know, why to suppress my anger? But it's not a matter of suppressing anger, because also if you suppress anger or the way you feel about something, yes, I will lose my self-respect. But it's not a matter of suppressing the vices, whether it's anger or any other. It's a matter of accepting them and offering them and letting them be dissolved. I've got to let it happen. But sometimes either through tiredness or being fed up or fear, you know, I can hold the vice very deeply inside. And this state of suppression will certainly make me lose my self-respect. Anger is a big one, no? It's a very big one. Because I can get angry even at myself. I'm not achieving what I want to achieve. And then I start to be tough and the wrong type of discipline. How can I keep self-respect? Because, as we said, self-respect, if it's progressive, then there's certainly more happiness and more lightness. And then, greed. Greed means that there's no feeling of being complete. I'm always needing to have something or something more of something. It's like having a hole in a bucket, and no matter how much you keep filling it with water, it always gets empty. Then the bucket is useless. So the same thing for the self. On the subconscious level, this works also, this lack of respect for the self. I'm wanting some. I'm wanting other people's respect. I'm wanting this. I'm wanting that. It may be gross. It may be subtle what I'm wanting. But the point is, it's showing that I'm not complete. I haven't been able to learn how to be complete. And so this restlessness, this greed for things, and taking, you know, I can't. It's very difficult to have a stable self-respect. Because I'm always looking outward for something. And attachment. Well, attachment. Certainly I lose respect because basically with attachment I lose my freedom. It's probably the biggest vice that makes me lose freedom. I'm attached to people. I'm attached to things, I'm attached to roles, because I think I get my sense of value from that, or my being from that. Also, another very big trap is being attached to my ideas and my opinions. You know, to be very opinionated about many things, I may force that opinion on others, but they will not respect me. And when I get attached to people, for example, basically, you know, they won't really respect me. And you see, a lot of the feeling of self-respect comes when others give genuine love. You know, love generates respect within relationship. Dependencies does not generate respect. And so when there's a dependency on anyone or anything, then of course I cannot stand in myself. I cannot find, first of all, that support in myself. So it becomes difficult. But Baba says, just remember me. Break away from everything. But actually, when Baba says break away from everything and everyone and break all those attachments, what he's telling me actually is learn to love now. Learn to love properly. See the others as souls, not as your extensions, not as your needs. Learn to love and don't just see others as personalities. See them as souls. Give them that respect. Because attachment is very, as you know, is misinterpreted a lot and misunderstood a lot as being love, but quite the opposite happens. Love, to receive spiritual love, this is the means of maintaining respectfulness. And then lust. Lust is not just the physical aspect, but the deep emotional aspect. You know, it's desire. And desire, you know, may not always be, you know, lust in that sense, but, you know, ambition. You know, some people you see have a great lust for position. This desire, you know, wanting. Eh? Wanting. It's very, of course, these are all connected, the vices. I mean, lust is very connected with greed also. But it is this wanting, because again, it's from the external. The soul cannot fulfill itself, it cannot nourish itself, and it has deceived itself that it can. This is called addiction. When I deceive myself and think and believe that some body, or even something, is really able to fulfill me, and it gives me an initial high, an initial makes me feel good, but it's not happiness. Happiness is a sanskara of the soul. It's not found in things. It begins first with the self. So it's very important not to have lust. I see some people sometimes have this lust for service, you know, this desire for, you know, I have to be doing this and then I'm proving myself. There's no need. No need. Just be content. Just be content. Contentment is cool water on all desire, you know. And how to get that contentment? I can just dialogue with myself, you know. And when you see yourself getting to this high peak of wanting and insisting, then this is the point, and I dialogue with I, the soul. Look, be cool, be easy. All things come in their time. So contentment is not that I give up on something, but I cool it down and start to put more cleaner intentions in what I wish to do, in what I wish to achieve. I think that, is that all of them? I don't remember. I think so. But what happens with all of these five energies, negative energies, because there's no respectfulness in it and no truth in it, all of them create fear of some kind or another. Fear, within that fear there's doubt and worry. For example, I'm attached to someone, you know? There's the fear, there's the worry. Will it last? I'm attached to a position. Will it last? And this is why then others become my enemy, because they're the ones who may take the position or take the person or whatever it may be. There's comparisons. All of these things produce a lot of fear, and fear creates a lot of damage to the self first. And then people become manipulative and controlling. You can't manipulate to get love, respect, happiness. It doesn't work on that level. It just doesn't work. It's another plane. It's like another planet. It doesn't work. This is called body consciousness. Body consciousness, it's all these things, you know, and people take it as reality. It's another planet. The Iron Age is another planet. The Iron Age values are other things. And this is why the old souls can never believe these types of values. Even if it follows it for some time or is, influenced by them, there's a part of it that knows this is not the reality. And this is why it makes its effort to search and find the truth of things. And then it all begins there. Knowledge. Baba comes and gives the soul knowledge so it can get liberated from all of these attitudes and actions that are constantly draining the soul of self-respect. Because with knowledge begins liberation and progress. But it's not just knowledge. I mean, it's a matter of refining that knowledge. This is why all Brahmins know I'm a soul, you're a soul, Baba's God, cycle time. But some are very rich in the experiences and some, get stale. I think everybody's rich in the experiences of these things at some point. But sometimes a bit of staleness can come. And so the soul doesn't feel it's progressing. The soul feels, I'm stuck. But progress comes when I apply. Again, what we said before, application and experience. Experience will motivate me to go more deeply into dana. Good experience is the best motivation for deeper dana. And the knowledge is refined. And as this is refined and I'm using it, then I feel power, I feel strength, I feel I'm progressing. You take it, even in the Lockheed world, remember the first aeroplane. I'm sure you must have seen this in documents. The first aeroplane, what it was like, and now what they have. The first telephone, and now what they have. All types of mobiles. You never would have imagined it. Do you know the person who was thinking of, who actually invented the telephone? He had this thought of, talking to somebody about 700 yards away, not so far away. And the people who heard him and seeing that he was experimenting with this thought he was mad. And they put him in an asylum. That's the first telephone. So look what happened. New things, always people think this is a bit crazy. But with time, look what happens. Huh? Look what happens. So the same way with, Baba says, you're a deity, you belong to the golden age. No? Oh, really? My Lockheed family doesn't think so. Really? Or, when you get very enthusiastic in the beginning, very enthusiastic about knowledge, and you tell people without, some sense, they think, you're going nuts, something's happening. And they say, but this is the real life. But, as I go deeper in knowledge, like the aeroplane, the telephone, whatever, anything, see, when things become of quality, they become very powerful, very compact. Not many things. So my thoughts are much more compact. My feelings are much more compact. My words, I say what I mean. I don't speak in order to camouflage my real feelings. Plus, I speak more with my feelings rather than my words. There's no waste. It's very compact, a lot of quality. This is progress. And that's even scientifically, it's like that. Much more spiritually. And this is called subtle. The subtle is always much more powerful. And when I start to get into that subtle experience and awareness, certainly I will have a very unshakable self-respect. And so for progress, you know, I need to recognize things deeply. Also for progress, I need to believe that I can reach higher things than yesterday. For example, yes, I can be sweeter. I can be more peaceful. And you know, I'm taking flying lessons. That's quite a crazy idea too, isn't it? For a lot of people, flying, you know how. But you know, Baba has told us how and what to do. But I've got to keep, you know, practicing, recognizing and practicing it. This is why these 1 minute, 1 second exercises are very practical, and they're the way, very often, to be able to go inside quickly and reconnect properly. You know, this is the practice that will take me above the chaos, above the sorrow. And that's when I can serve that sorrow and when I can serve that chaos. I cannot serve while I'm in it. Yeah? So that the progress comes when I have such a refined mind that in a second, in a moment, I can really go beyond it. Brings a lot of benefit to the self and others. So always, you know, I have that faith, that belief that, you know, every day something better, something higher. But then I also have to decide and I have to do. You know, I cannot progress until I decide. This is what I wish to be. This is, you know, what I am. This is, you know, what I want in my life. Or today, you know, today, yes. Sweeter, flying, whatever. Decision and doing. The doing is the practice of it. And then as the soul progresses very, very quickly and deeply, it understands the things that give happiness and the things that are camouflaged happiness. Because sorrow doesn't always appear as sorrow in the beginning, does it? It appears as a camouflaged happiness. Attachment appears as a camouflaged, you know, hope or something great, but it's camouflaged, it's disguised, big disguises. But a person whose intellect has progressed and is refined can understand that disguise very quickly. And we start to very easily see, you know, happiness doesn't come from getting what I want now. Love doesn't come from being attached to this one or that one. No. Self-respect doesn't come from others recognizing me in this way and that way and approving of this action and that action. I know, this is not self-respect. And so at the time that we are now, what is the easy way to jump up and get into that consciousness? Baba gave us some directions in the last Muli for both progress and within and self-respect together. What did he say? He said, the one who is ever ready to take can take your burden. Something like that. I don't remember the exact words, but give your burden. The one who's willing to take is ready to take. So if I'm able to do that, then, you know, certainly I'll be able to progress. And if I have enough respect for myself, I will give that burden. I won't feel ashamed of anything. I'll do it again and again and again as long as it takes. I've got to have very determined faith. Some sanskars do not go away so quickly. You know, I just have to be realistic about that, detached and realistic. So I keep offering and I keep offering. And the very fact that I do it, it gets better. I do progress. It may not always feel like that, but I do progress. So Baba gave us this direction, first one. And the second one, he said, don't just say and think about it, but have realization from your heart. The realization from the heart means with all of my being. And that realization from the heart means I will do it. I won't just think about it or just speak about it. And actually, realization from the heart also has this idea of being very honest. This is a big method to progress and to keep self-respect. A person who's honest, no matter what imperfections they have or what mistakes they do, if they can be very honest about it to themselves, they do progress. They're not stuck in fear. They're not stuck in guilt. They're not stuck in habit or routine. Now, if I'm honest, I will always have courage. Honesty is the mother of courage, always. Baba said a few other things. I'm trying to remember them. And also, yes, the other thing that I remember, he was saying that now you have to do and become what you say. This is the whole key of self-respect, and it's the whole key of progress. Am I checking myself? Am I doing? Am I becoming what I'm saying to others? I'm telling, you know, we have so many positive thought courses, you know, we do stress-free living courses, all of that. And I'm telling others how to do it. But then, do I pay such attention on myself that I can remain stress-free? You know, conflicts give a lot of stress. The vices give lots of stress. Can I go so deep in myself that, yes, I will remain positive about this person, about this situation. As soon as I stop just going out there and start to see the life and face it from in here, from inside, from, you know, being internally awake and aware, I will progress. It's a matter of awareness. It's not that I don't know. It's not that Baba's not cooperating. It's not that there's not guidance. And people will come in my life that will help. It's not that that is not happening. I just have to be aware that it is. Then I can recognize it and take that cooperation. And once the soul is progressing properly, then it starts to build a very strong foundation inside that nothing can actually break it. It may at times, you know, Mr. Ravan may come back with Miss Maya, you know, and have a look how things are going. Shake a little bit, make a few promises, you know, oh, you know. Get a bit of ego, a bit of anger, you know. You put people in their place. They will respect you, you know, if you just show a sternness or you move away from them or whatever. Sometimes that may influence me a bit when, you know, but if I have a strong foundation inside, I quickly wake up to that old habit of reacting to things I don't like. I'll wake up to it and I'll choose, you know, the way that God has asked me to behave. Not because I have to, but, you know, because I know really that's the best for myself and for the others. And Baba respects the soul a lot. Baba showed that in the last Moli when he said to, you know, he said to all of us, he said, your value and you're elevated because you have recognized God in his incognito form. See your fortune. So Baba has a big respect for his children, as well as love, but respect. And because he respects us, he always encourages us. And because he loves us, he's willing to transform. And to, you know, love also shows a lot of patience as well. Always the relationship of father and child is a relationship of respect and love. So, and it's there offered every day. Every day, you know this? Not just on Thursdays, or just in Madhuban, or just in Oxford, or just at a retreat. Yeah, of course you have special moments then, definitely, but that are offering every day. Let me remain aware of this. That's all. Just remain aware of it. And then I will experience the truth of that and the sweetness of that. Om Shanti. So actually it will be 7 o'clock now. So I have to, for meditation. And to actually do the meditation, one of the things that we can do is actually do those 5 stages, that Swadarshan Chakradhari, if you like. Yes, I'm a soul. I mean, different people start at different points. It doesn't matter where you start. You look, all 5 are done, you know. Get it right. I don't know, it usually happens at 7 o'clock, but I think they just play music and go. But just the steps, you know, deity, my pure, you know, human form, my closeness to everything, my natural self-respect, and then a worshipper. You know, I'm remembering the speciality. And it's good if I remember that speciality, you know. Each of us has it, and it's good to see that speciality. Is it kindness? Speciality of kindness. Speciality of courage. And the speciality is bringing benefit to many. The speciality to say yes. And I'm a Brahmin. I've recognized the Father. I've recognized my partnership with the Father. Recognized the angelic Father, Brahma. I'm fulfilling my aim. I'm fulfilling, as a partner, their task together. Angel. I take on my subtle form, a form of light, the Father's instrument, companion, and fly with them. I fly. And a point. The beginning, the end, I become a point, incorporeal. Liberated, peaceful, pure. The beginning, the end, the seed. So in meditation, you can experience these stages and then feel the deep respect that comes from this. It's not an artificial respect, it's a very natural respect. Om Shanti. I become quiet. Gently I concentrate. And I step deeply into the self. I step deeply into my original consciousness. Very quietly. Gently determined. Concentrated. I go deeper and deeper into my consciousness. and I find myself at the beginning of time. The golden time. I am here. In my deity form. Pure. Soul and body pure. Everything is natural. No effort for love, for closeness, for harmony. It is natural. I feel myself in this world, in this family of golden human beings. And nature, in her purest form, her loving form, I gently touch the earth as I walk. I am no burden to Mother Earth. I move gently with my friends are deities. Our friendship is eternal. Our friendship is sweet and clean. No need to think. In this deity world, in this garden of love, we are all blooming. And the fragrance of happiness is everywhere. I belong here. I belong to this world, to this family. Let me remain now in this awareness, the deity, the family of true love and happiness. Everything here is real. Genuine, true. I am this. I am this deity in this harmonious world of pure feeling. has passed. A long, long time has passed. I have forgotten something. Something has been lost. A harmony. A peace. A love. That existed somewhere. Between us. Within me. I remember something. But the world is different. I want to return to that state somehow. So I sing, I write, I build, and I remember God. For somehow He knows the secret. And somehow I know that everything pure and real is in Him. But still, I don't know exactly where He is, what He is. But if I remember Him, I know I receive something. So I sing of Him, build to Him, write about Him. And as time passes, I'm not too sure if it's all right. I'm looking. I'm deeply searching. I remember. I do remember love, wisdom, tolerance. I remember that these give benefit. And I try to practice them with my friends and with others. Sometimes it works, sometimes not. I find myself getting angry, a bit hopeless, but I keep going. I trust that there is a truth, even if I can't quite grasp it. And I know I do have to practice the specialities of love, trust, forgiveness, patience. Because I know, somehow I know, they bring benefit and harmony. But I'm getting tired. I'm getting tired. Too many books. Too many songs. Too many buildings, too many words, too many disappointments. Where is God? Where is love? Hear something. I see something. And something in me responds. An ancient memory stirs inside. God is calling me. Is God telling me something? I listen. I'm given knowledge and understanding of soul, of time, of God Himself. And I accept this is the way. This is the way. Baba, I have found you. Or rather, it seems, you have found me. I was looking in the wrong directions. But when the heart is honest, Baba responds, he says, and guides the soul to find what it has been looking for. Become a Brahmin through Brahma, the angelic father. I'm direct student, direct child, the direct instrument of you, the eternal one, you, the loving one, you, the eternal father and mother. I'm learning. I'm changing. I'm serving as an instrument. An instrument. Father, you turn me into light, dissolving all the shadows, all the past. I am absorbed in you. Father, at last I belong. I belong to you. Belong to me. Baba, father, mother, friend, you make me into your companion, a being of light, shining, sparkling, and not just me, but also my friends who have been with me from the beginning of time. We are here together. We enjoyed, we worshipped, we studied, and now we fly together, linked to you. Brahma, our angelic father, is showing us how to fly. We are flying, flying, serving, spreading your light, your love, your benevolence. With our friends. this friendship with you and with each other. We fly to purify, to liberate. We hear the call of nature and of our brother souls. We fly. And we understand. You give us this understanding. We are born to serve. Light, pure light, and love. The Father's love radiates everywhere. You, Father, and together we fly everywhere, everywhere.
Golden time and begin my journey.
of happiness, of expression. Again. Home. Light. Peace. Love. And friendship. I'm secure. I belong. Peace.